The long and winding road leads us here to the doorstep of the postseason. One win, a little bit of help away from ending 17 seasons of misery.
Allen steps up. Jumps over the defenders to pick up the first. Now, how many quarterbacks have you ever seen hurdle anyone?
He throws. Touchdown! Andre Reed for the touchdown! The Bills have scored!
Good afternoon, good morning, good evening. You're listening to the Red, White and Buffalo Blues, episode number 47. Now, I'm tired. My co-host Alex is probably tired and hungover. I do like to thank everyone that did turn out yesterday for the meet at the famous Three Kings and for the two Northern Souls that were in the Brotherhood Manc supporting the Bills up there. Thank you for turning out. Shame we couldn't get the win. Alex, are you fully recovered from all that beer you drank?
Not hungover.
That's all right then.
This morning, my voice was kind of gone, but other than that, it's more of just like an anger kind of thing. Let me tell you, I'm really struggling between, am I angry or am I hopeful?
Yeah.
And I kind of brought it all together, and I was just thinking, like, when was the last time you expected the Bills to win a meaningful game? Every time we had a big game where we were like 5-3 or, you know, 4-4 or just end of the season where it's close and we're like, hey, if we can string a few games together, we can make the playoffs. But let me tell you, the emotion that most of us felt last night, for some of you, just started this year. I mean, we talked about like the 2017 playoff game last night, and that was just a gift. There were no hopes of continued success with that roster. It was a good feeling to end the drought, but that's all the 2017 Bills were ever going to do. Mm-hmm. But this team, though, I think this team captured our hearts and our imagination. This team allowed us and showed us what it's like to hope again. And I'd say it hasn't been since 99, since we've had a team that we believed could win a playoff game. And maybe even before that, a team that's proven to win a playoff game since 95. And I mean, that was a hell of a long time ago. I think I talked with more than one person last night that it takes a lot to be a Bills fan.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I mean, not having won a championship since 1965, only my late grandfather can say that he experienced a Bills championship win. I mean, who listening today can say that they remember that? And I would imagine not many from the UK.
Yeah.
I mean, for us here, not many can even say that they remember the 1990s Super Bowl teams. There has been so much time in between. It's been so long since we've felt hopeful. Mm. Think about what we've had. Wade Phillips, Greg Williams, Mike Mularkey, Chan Gailey, Doug Marone, Dick Geron, Rex Ryan. None of them could restore this fan base's hope. Sean McDermott has. This staff has. These players have. For the first time in a long time, I trust and believe that we'll be better next year. We have a solid foundation, and we're a few pieces away. Yes, we lost, and yes, I'm angry. I was for most of the day, ask my wife. We didn't talk much. But it feels good to feel this angry. It means that I have a football team that I expect to win playoff games and win division titles. Mm. The future, I believe, is bright. Finally.
I agree. I mean,
this loss added to the fuel of the fire of this team as well. If you've heard them today, right before we started recording this, or if you listened today, locker cleanout day, if you heard anybody last night post game, this loss added fuel to the fire, and the majority of these players will be back next year to be able to work on it. So through the anger, there's hope, And that's what we need to focus on, I believe. There's been a lot of talk in my own, in my fantasy football group, there's a lot of talk about Josh Allen and Brian Daboll, and we'll get to breaking down the individuals of that. But in the whole, looking at this logo, the organization, the upper management, down to the players, there should be hope. So just through a loss, hold on to that.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I mean, looking at it, it's I'll go through most of these later on when we at the end of the show. But there were some responses I managed to get in regards to what people felt of the game and all that. I'm gonna read a couple out now, because some of them did sort of back up the optimism that we've actually been looking for. One coming from Bills Fan UK saying, it's been a great year. Looks like going to be great continuation on it. Next year, Buffalo will have all that experience to call on. We were winning our first game in 25 years, playoff game. Staying positive, the future's bright. A lot of cap space. Decent number of draft picks. Next year's Bills year. And just a load more positives on there on how optimistic fans are going to be for next season. I mean, I've been telling people that when McDermott came in, it took 2 years for him to sort out that defense to what it is today. And you're then looking at whether they're going to do the same for the offense. Could it be 2 years for the offense? We're already in year one of that new offense with, 16, 17 new pieces. And we hit the playoffs with 10 wins. Could have been 11. Could have been more with all those close games. But when you add that many pieces on the offense, you get to a playoff. Okay, struggled a little bit on offense, but you're in year one of it. With all that draft pick, and we know that McDermott's more than likely going to be trading those picks, passing them up rather than actually sticking with those 9 and 90 million cap space, you've got to look positive towards the future, regardless of whether we actually won that game or not. I mean, yes, me personally, I was disappointed. I mean, I was kind of pissed it went to overtime, but kind of glad it went to overtime.
Well, yeah, I mean, if it doesn't go to overtime, we lose. But yeah, the game shouldn't have gotten there. I mean, I know that you said you have a lot of got a lot of shout outs on Twitter. Do you want to cover any of those before we just dive into breaking down the game?
Yeah, I can give it a go. Got a couple from Robin Armstrong. His first one goes, in the cold light, it reveals the fan base and how far we have to go. All the warts were there. Conservative play calling, O-line weakness, Josh too erratic and wild under pressure. Had we won, we'd have been thrashed by the Ravens and Chiefs and would not receive the same attention.
Thrashed? I don't know about thrashed. This defense doesn't get thrashed. Yeah. I mean, the offense moved the ball for most of the game. They just couldn't score touchdowns. I don't want to talk about conservative. Josh threw the ball 46 times.
Mm.
I think we want to say conservative just because the score sheet doesn't show touchdowns, but
yeah,
and because you saw eight handoffs to Frank Gore at pretty much all of the wrong times to get Frank Gore the ball. But other than that, I want to say no runs in overtime is not conservative.
Yeah. Yeah. He also went on with another point, saying, failure is the greatest teacher, which is actually a good saying.
You hit us with that Merv Levy quote a few weeks ago, and that stands true right now.
Yeah. He said, with a good offseason, draft defensive end, wide receiver, rounds 1 and 2 of the draft, add a 1 in free agency, will be there. And if you saw Josh Broken the sideline, we'll know he'll learn from this, be much better and mature in 2020.
Yeah, one of the things that I was talking to my wife about was, like, you know, during the season, you only have 7 days to fix. Sorry, you only have like 6 days to fix last week's problems. In the off season, you have months to fix all season's problems.
Mm.
comes down to how much you trust this coaching staff and how much you trust that Josh can learn from it. But I have all of the trust that they will learn and make adjustments and be better next year.
Yeah. Another one I've got is from Steven 19811, who actually goes, the vanilla offense in the second half was terrible. We whiffed too many first down tackles on defense, and the third and 18 was the worst soft coverage I've ever seen. Could go on, but in all, we've had a great season and the future looks bright.
Yeah, that third and 18 was harsh. I bring that up later when we break down the game, but yeah, that's just something else. I mean,
we'll cover that
later.
Got another one from Dave Thorpe going, tough loss, but this season was a success. Playoffs was a bonus despite all the expert predictions. We're in the process, the same process that said playoffs next year, and the future is actually looking good. Young team will be able to learn and grow.
Yeah, I mean, you want to talk about the process. I think the process was, and I mentioned this in an earlier show, it's they built the defense first, and then this was step one in building the offense. I think the playoffs this year was a goal, but not a mandate. I think next year the playoffs is a mandate, and the offense is going to be added to in the offseason to be complete. I mean, many people have said that 2020 was always the goal of this organization to have a complete football team. I know Joe Biscaglia has said it, and I completely agree. I mean, the defense is complete. They're going to lose maybe one or two pieces, but replace them because we have money and picks. In offense, there's going to be additions with the money and picks. And 2020, I think, will be the year. I mean, Josh has got a lot to learn from. And I think that you look at him today, the things he was talking about, this is on me, I'm going to do everything I can. I mean, look at Baker Mayfield's offseason so far.
Yeah.
And how he's responded. And then look at how Josh is responding.
Yeah.
We got the right guy. So exactly. I trust that the things will be worked out.
Yeah, and there's another one I got from Matt Ribbons, and I want to apologize to him because when I was actually reading the tweets last night, I saw a photo. He was actually there. He was actually sitting behind me. I didn't even notice, didn't even turn around. So I want to apologize for him there and apologize to anyone else that I didn't get to meet. But he goes, in short, a tough loss, but a massive learning experience for everyone. Halfway through the third half, it just seemed to fall apart. Defense couldn't respond. Offensive, of course, questionable. And saw it all in the game. The good, the bad, and the, Josh, what are you doing? Moments.
Yeah. That's, I read a really satirical article that a friend of mine posted in our fantasy football group about how, like, Josh Allen's the most exciting quarterback to watch because the dude doesn't play football. He's out there doing something else.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you watch, I mean, that lateral Hail Mary to his fullback, the runs, the fumbles, the pass receptions for touchdowns. I mean, you can watch Drew Brees play boring football all day, but with Josh Allen, you're going to a circus.
Yeah.
And obviously, I think that's not what you want as a fan of the team. It's nice and entertaining for, you know, if you don't care about wins, because it is definitely a highlight reel every week with him, good and bad, because it's just when it's bad, it's funny. When it's good, it's spectacular. But, if he can... I think the word for Josh is maturity.
Yeah.
I mean, Drew Brees' first few years were bad in San Diego.
Shipped
him off. So, I mean, if you can go for Josh, he went bad to decent. Now he's got to go from decent to I can win games in, you know, I can put a complete game together. And that's what you do in the third year. So let's see that happen.
I've got two more come through. One is kind of a two-parter, but it's from Saul McKay 3. He goes, upon reflection this season, this has offered a lot of encouragement. The franchise is heading in the right direction. However, the offense needs a serious reshuffle and the ball needs to go. too many times this season the offense has gone to pieces, and a lot of that comes down to him. Why did Singletary only have 12 carries? Why are you asking a quarterback who can often be inconsistent to throw the ball 45 times in a game? It's blatantly obvious that DeBoer hasn't put us in the position to execute the offensively this season.
I will cover that later. I have notes about that, and I want to keep them in succinct order. So we'll get to the whole Brandable stuff. But honestly, just, you know, a blanket statement to respond to that. Dable's not going to go anywhere. He's done enough good to go with the bad. And I think that once the coaching staff gets together, they'll work on the bad and work it out.
Yeah. And the last one is what I really liked is from Chris Wild is he goes, it's all good experience for Josh. His development is already on a steady trajectory, and he seems to be really good at making adjustments in his games and improving after mistakes. So next year should be fun. It's the year we're meant to be challenging all along, and all this has just been a bonus in my eyes. So I think it means next year is the year they're meant to be ready to challenge all along, and this has just been a bonus this year in his eyes.
Yeah, I mean, all along, when the playoffs started, I had every desire to be happy with a loss next week. It's unfortunate that the loss came this week, but then again, look big picture. What does one playoff win really mean? It doesn't do anything for you. Hey, look, we won a playoff game. That's great. Guys do that all the time, you know? That doesn't mean shit, winning one game. So I think that if the Bills win this game and lose next week, that doesn't mean they're going to be better next year. Doesn't mean anything. It just would have been nice to get a W. Just like it was nice to break this the drought. But at the end of the day, the goal is the Super Bowl, and that wasn't really realistically going to happen this year. So I wouldn't overreact to the L as much as I would like to overreact to a few of the little things. So do you want to go overreact to a few little things?
Me? No. I mean,
okay. I'll do it. Then you can respond to me then.
Go for it.
But just like one of those two last guys said, I mean, Josh threw 46 passes. He was 52%. That's bad.
Yep.
You can't have that happen. I had this whole thing where I was going to talk about like Ben Roethlisberger and his game management, but I have that after I break down a few plays. The thing was, I compared this game a lot to the New England game, whereas in New England, we did a lot of punts and we didn't score points. And I said at the beginning of this game, if we can convert those drives where we punted to at least field goals, we'll win the game. Well, in this game, I got what I wanted. We kicked a lot of field goals, and God damn it, I was wrong. second quarter, John Brown misses the toe tap inside the five. We kick a field goal. And for as much as I love John Brown, he put up a really good wide receiver two season. Because that guy, that play, I mean, DeAndre Hopkins makes that catch. You know?
Okay.
I mean, Hopkins don't grow on trees, but A.J. Brown for the Titans makes that catch. He's a rookie. We need to get a guy that makes that catch. Now, the thing about it is you're going to say, oh, maybe Duke Williams makes that catch. But the thing, Duke Williams doesn't run that route to get open there. Because that's not what Duke Williams does. So,
again, with that, you're looking that way. Then you're looking at the fact that how tall is Hopkins? Is what one? He's about six foot two or something like that. AJ Brown's about 6'2", so
yeah. But you need to have a tall guy who can run a route, and we don't have that. We have a Duke Williams who can make a catch in contested space, but I think he doesn't run a route to get open like John Brown would there. So that's what needs to be worked on. But that's just one play. Continuing, later in the second quarter, 30 seconds left. We have the ball at the Texans 23. We hand off to Frank Gore. Silly. spike, then incomplete to Duke, then field goal. I mean, this is what people talk about when they complain about Dable. Consider that we're not talking at all about how amazing that first drive was, right?
Yeah.
The problem is because that first drive doesn't happen consistently enough.
Exactly.
There's always, as a whole, this season, there have been more drives like this than there were of the successful first drive. And that's the step that needs to be taken next year. So
For sure.
That's another drive that ends in a field goal that should have been a touchdown. And then the last one, third quarter, Hopkins fumble. We get the ball down to the Texans 14. This needs to be a touchdown. Josh double clutches on an end zone pass to Croft. I think he does that because he sees a guy in the way. So I'm not considering that to be the problem. But then it's a Singletary run on second down. On a first down throw, you know they're going to run it on second down. The Texans do, and we get 2 yards. And then that was the Watt sack where everyone talks about momentum, which isn't a real thing, but then the field goal. You can't kick field goals in the red zone against a bad defense.
Yeah. So
that's it. And then after that, it's fumble, punt, turnover on downs. And it's like, holy shit, we had opportunities. We had a very consistent offense that got us in position to score touchdowns. But when it came time to really have that championship moment, we showed that we haven't been here yet.
So you're saying if we're in the red zone on there, you were hoping that if they got to a fourth down, that on that defense, you'd at least try on not all occasions, but maybe on one or two to catch them out, to go for it on the fourth down.
On the first field goal where Allen misses Brown, that's 3rd and 10. So you're not going to go for it on 4th and 10.
Yeah.
So the field goal there is fine. But the problem is that last set of plays. 1st and 10 at the 22, Josh Allen incomplete to John Brown. 2nd and 10, Josh Allen runs up the middle for no gain, so that was a broken play. And then 3rd and 10, Allen misses Brown in the corner up for the toe tap miss. Those plays just need to be executed better or called differently. I would have loved. I'm not going to go back and watch this game. I don't think my heart can handle it. I would just be too angry the whole time, and nobody wants an angry be around an angry person. But that's 2nd and 10 from the Texans 22. Josh Allen up the middle for no gain. And again, this happens so often. There were a lot of designed Allen runs, and I understand because you have a guy that can do it. But with his fumbles, and he's just a better scrambler. I'd rather us split five, go spread, and then run it from there instead of setting up blocks to run it. It's better to catch a defense in man-to-man and run it from there. But
yeah.
And then the other one, the second quarter with 30 seconds left, we go 1st and 10, Frank Gore for 1, then Allen spikes the ball, and then he misses Duke. So that's with we end the quarter with a timeout, which is pretty sad. We took our second timeout after Josh completes the Singletary for 3 yards. Then we take the timeout. We get the new set of downs. Then it's Frank Gore, left guard, for 1 yard. What are you doing running Frank Gore with 30 seconds left with one timeout?
Yeah.
He's not going to score a touchdown from there, okay? He's not. It's just not going to happen. What's your hope there? Are you saying that you only have a play that can be successful from the five? Are you saying you need to run Frank Gore to get closer? Give me a break. That's when people talk about conservative. That was a conservative call. That play needs to be run in overtime when we have the ball and time on the clock and all we need is a field goal. That's where you need to be running the football. Not here. That was a big mistake. But at the end of it, we end the half at 13-0, and we're good. And then after that, we make them punt, then we punt, then the fumble, and then we go 16-0. And you're up by two touchdowns. You're up by two scores. Problem is, at that point, the defense, it's so hard. Did the defense let us down?
Yeah.
This really?
This is probably the one real time I do think that's the case. I mean, yes, you've got the 3rd and 18, which pretty much set up the game winning field goal for Texans. You also had that.
I don't see anything wrong with the first Texans touchdown.
No,
you're not going to shut out the Texans, okay?
Yeah.
So we blank him in the first half, which is fantastic. You would have loved to have another touchdown there, but you don't. You're up by two. That's great. So they don't get it on their first or second drive. They get it on their third drive of the third quarter. And man, those 2 points, that 2 point, I mean, I think that's overlooked. Their success on those two, on their 2 point conversions.
That won in the game.
Yeah.
That one in the game, because if it weren't for that, then obviously you'd take off 2 points. Yeah, well, you'd be going into the game. You'd be going into the end of the game at what, 19-17 victory for
the
Bills.
You can assume that their coach, Bill O'Brien, is going to do something dumb. And he did in the fourth quarter. It was run, fourth down, run, and they didn't get it. They should have played field position there. But he didn't do too many dumb things this game. And you can never rely on it, you know, but history shows that he's going to do some dumb stuff. And he did some weak stuff in the first half by not scoring points, you know, but he didn't do anything dumb. He did the right call going for two on this first one. And man, you'd love to have your defense stop that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. I mean, I will say it was. There were times where you can't fault the defense. You put it down to how well Watson actually worked, and obviously the adjustments they made coming out that coming out the half. But I'm also talking about the missed tackles that are actually going on there. I mean, the one where both Neal and Milano both go try to take down Watson and he escapes from it, and all the other missed tackles in those runs. I mean, what, Duke Johnson, he was 3 for 38 yards, longest being 19. He's had so many, loads of broken tackles in there. And I think that's what actually needs work on more in the offseason, because I know McDermott loves or really tries to hammer in the fact that they need to be sound in their tackling. And when you're getting busts like Milano and Neal when they didn't bring him down, maybe it was good evasion by Watson, but you've got that, which was a missed opportunity. That would kept the clock rolling. They'd have to take a timeout and they'll be pushed back a little bit further. But it's not just that, it's other times as well when there are times and they should be running, they should be tackling, they're just whiffing at them. Allow them to get those 5 yards, 6 yards to make second and third downs for them a lot more manageable than if we stop them at the line and they have second or third and 10, which gives them a little bit more difficulties.
Yeah, I mean, rewinding from the Duke Johnson play in overtime there to their second touchdown was the big play to Hopkins for 41. Trey, overall in the game, wasn't on Hopkins the whole time. So I think Hopkins on White one-on-one, he was 70 for, with seven, I think. So he did a little bit of damage against everyone else. But yeah, that play there, I can't say it can't happen, because I think you're going to the guy's going to do something, you know? He didn't go off. He didn't destroy us. He just made plays at the right time. And that's, you know, great on the Texans. I mean, you know, they're trying to win the game too. And they did the right stuff at the right time, which was playing better in the second half. there wasn't really much else on that other than the 2-point attempt. Again, I mean, what do you? You have confidence in the defense all year to stop these things, and then it doesn't happen here, and that's a little bit frustrating.
Oh yeah, no, for sure. I mean, there are times I think we can discuss this in future episodes, the way forward, and obviously this season, where they need to take a step back, not just look at this game and certain situations, but during the season and think what could we have done better on that. I mean, we know the stat that Josh Allen, when he has 25 or less passing attempts, we're 6-7-0, 6-1 or something like that. But yet, when he flows over, then there's more chance we're going to lose. So, it's getting to a point where you've got to look, whether it be what the ball's seeing or anything like that, to why they seem to go away from what facts are doing. And the fact that, was it 30... only 13 carries for Singletary.
Yeah.
9 for Josh Allen, including that 42-yard one. So he was 9 for 92. So take out that 42, he was running for 50 yards.
Man, remember, carries. There was that one play where we run a design sweep to the right, and he's got blockers, and Knox and Spain both miss the middle linebacker, and he just blows up Allen. If one of those guys would have just chipped him, I mean, the game's over. It's the little things that separate playoff teams from championship teams. And that was, again, one of the things. And the good thing is that we have a roster that's going to be mostly back next year, and they all can sit down and learn from it and be better next year.
Yeah.
There isn't going to be turnover from like 17 to 18 where you have to teach all the guys again. It's just going to be just the little things get cleaned up, and I believe that'll happen. And I have no proof of that. This is completely the definition of faith.
Yeah, I think.
Because when you look at what happened on that 3rd and 18, I mean, what is that play call? That can't happen. This defense is better than that. Leslie Frazier, McDermott is better than that. I would love to know why they decided to make that play call and be so soft on that 3rd and 18.
I think, to be honest, I could see what they were trying to do. They were trying to obviously contain him to actually stop, obviously, again, 18.
You keep him in front. You keep the ball in front of you, absolutely. Yeah, but wide receiver so deep, and then he bounces out at the last second. He has all of this space in front of him. And we're playing man, I think, or at least a super soft zone where no one's near him when he makes the catch. He gets 15 yards before we even look like we're going to tackle him. It was just too close. And it's just... I don't know. I'm gonna watch I keep watching the play over and over again, and I'm just like, where is someone? Where is someone? Where is someone?
I think with that one, it is a case that they fuck it. I had it in my head just a minute ago. That they want to obviously stop the long ball, but you've also got the likes of, they should have been in front of that marker to actually get there a lot quicker. Because when you look at it, it seemed that they were behind the line they needed.
Oh,
behind.
Yeah.
If they were a little bit further.
They must have seen on tape, the Texans must have seen on tape that the Bills, I mean, we've all known all year that the Bills are susceptible to running backs in the passing game. Talked about it in the preview show. It was my biggest thing. Duke Johnson can hurt you. And we pretty much stopped him for most of the game, but he hurt us on the biggest play. And this was his biggest play. And I really, in 3rd and 18, in 3rd and longs, I like to play, again, and we're looking at a tie game here. We're in overtime, right?
Yeah.
So 3rd and longs, tie game, I like to play normal defense here. Because you know that if you play too high safety, if you go like Tampa 2, cover 2, something like that, they're not, with the strength of our defense, they're not going to beat you deep. So just cover everything before the line, and you're going to be fine. But yeah, we played it too conservative, and it's something that we haven't done all game. I mean, we had 7 sacks. We weren't conservative on defense.
No.
But we were on this one play, and it's just like, holy hell, one play, and that's it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
So, I mean, I don't want to – that and the missed sack are the only two nitpicks I have for the defense. I had way more on offense, and it's been like that all year. So that's why I don't want to blame the defense. And I think especially on that sack, I think that if Neal just is going after him or if just Milano's getting there, but the fact that they sandwich him kind of keeps him upright. And it's just a hell of a play by Watson and an unlucky play for us. But in terms of execution, it was on the offense. The defense held them to 2 touchdowns. It's what I said against New England. Hold them to 2 touchdowns. Your offense is supposed to win that game, and we didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you got an echo on your side. No, it's
hit that reverb.
As much as I agree with that, I do say you can't put on the defense. I think that's probably the worst thing that we're looking at for it is those tackles. You make those tackles, they come down. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff on there that we've got to look at, mainly on the offense side and the scheme and all that and how to do it. But
there's a lot of stuff that we didn't even cover that we're not going to cover, because if we cover everything, then it's just going to be a 2-hour long show. And I think nobody wants to listen to that. but in terms of execution, the defense was built. Like I said, we had 2 years to build this defense, and they're doing their job. This is year one of this offense, and they're showing it. And I think next year's the year. So
yeah.
It would have been great to win, but it wouldn't have meant anything because we weren't going to go. I think if you want to be optimistic about anything, hey, the Patriots lost.
Oh, yeah. That's probably the most exciting thing of the night, to be honest.
Yeah. But, I mean, I hate to talk about refs deciding games because they don't. The players decide the games. The Bills had 12 drives. Offensive drive to put points on the field, on the board. So when the refs missed that phantom rule call change on special teams to take the touchdown away, or when they call a shitty blindside block, those matter. But in the whole scheme of the whole game, the Bills offense had 12 drives and they didn't put enough points on.
Yeah.
With that said, the refs took away an opportunity for the Bills to win the game by that weak blindside block call. And I think that is what's going to probably haunt me the most, because if that call doesn't get called, look at it this way. Last year, Saints and whoever, the massive missed pass interference call, right?
Yeah.
Remember that on Alvin Kamara? Who were they playing? Do you remember off the top of your head real quick?
No, I think it was the Rams. Viking Saints one as well, wasn't it?
No, that was the NFC Championship game, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was Rams Saints.
Okay.
Whatever. You just remember it happened against the Saints, right? So in that instance, when the call doesn't get made, there's uproar. If on this penalty, if they don't call it, does anybody say, oh my God, Cordy Ford with the blindside block? How did the refs miss that? No one's making that statement today if the call isn't made, because he didn't knock him down. He shoved him. It was a push. It wasn't a helmet. It wasn't a shoulder. It didn't knock him down. Nobody is going back to the tape and saying they missed that call. And that's what the referees can't do. They can't call plays that are not egregious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just think it's something that you wanna go scream and shout about the refs. We know we've just got to lump it and love it. It's happened all season where we've had bad rough of the green with the refs.
Ooh, you were using phrases that I've never heard before.
Really?
Yeah, we don't know. We don't have that one over the pond.
Which one's that?
Something probably about you have to love it, and then you said something about the green. I don't
love it and lump it and rubber the green.
Yep, I don't have those in my lexicon. That's why this is a UK Bills podcast.
But no, as much as I'd love to sit and talk officiating, and yeah, there was massive tweets.
I mean, was anything called on the Texans all game, though? I mean,
no.
They missed multiple, and they've been doing this all year, missing delay of game penalties.
Yeah.
Josh Allen takes a helmet to the chin. I mean, there's nobody plays a clean game.
I think it was
plays clean. No offensive line plays clean, and there was not a holding call against the Texans. If you're going to play, the refs basically decided either early on or through the game, they're like, all right, this game's not too bad. We're just going to let them play. We're only going to call obvious penalties.
Mm.
But then when the game mattered the most, they decided to be stingy.
Yeah.
And the refs just didn't play it consistent all game. They, up to that point, they were fine. I understand the special teams touchdown thing because the refs basically weren't allowed to decide that. You saw those black-shirted refs come out, run onto the field, and make the call. That was weird. That's kind of, if you want to play conspiracy theory, go ahead. But on that play, on that call, the blindside block shouldn't have happened because they weren't calling that kind of stuff all game.
Yeah, I think it's... Oh, Jesus Christ, Zeb Lester scored for West Ham. Sorry, I'm being distracted. But no, I think it's that delay game, I think, was leading up to, what was it? It was one of those, I think it was a touchdown or move the...
It was on a third down that the Texans converted.
Yeah, and then obviously the whole, what do you call it, the whole, did he actually give himself up or not on the on the kickoff?
Yeah, that's been discussed in nauseam on Twitter, and let me say, a lot of NFL guys with blue check marks and old referees with blue check marks said that should have been a Bills touchdown. So,
yeah.
Thanks, league. Yeah. I mean,
yeah, if that was the Patriots, then that would have stood.
It would have been very
interesting. And the intentional grounding on Josh Allen, that wouldn't have been given.
No, yeah, I mean, yeah, Tom Brady never gets those, but if Feliciano doesn't touch that, they probably don't call that, but
yeah,
you know, that's the ropes, that's how they treat young quarterbacks in this league. So
yeah, I mean, no. Before we end it, there's one more tweet that just came in, one obviously I want to read out. It's from Dan Smart. He goes, in relation to the future and their views on the game, he goes, they will learn. Most games this year, they look brilliant in parts, but never over a whole game. Loads of cap room next year. I'm confident they will recruit and spend well. Surely the only way is up. Allen will learn in the offseason, hopefully improve the same rate as last year.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's definitely something good to look on, obviously. And next week, we're going to go over the a season review. Then we're going to take a couple of weeks off just to regroup and come back with the with an off season outlook, and then we'll start getting.
No, it was the 3rd and 18 with the play call. It wasn't a 3rd and 8 earlier in the game. It was the 3rd and 18 in overtime where the play clock went down, and the refs missed it.
Okay, so that was one that cost us the game. Yeah, but as I say, we'll go on to it. As I say, we got the review next week, off-season outlook a couple weeks' time, and then we get into my favorite part, the bit you're kind of dreading a little bit.
Yeah, it means I'm going to have to learn a new skill, which is you know, analysis in college football and you know, projecting guys. My whole philosophy on the draft is I will judge them when they get here, because you get guys who don't translate, good guys in college who don't translate to the NFL, you know, Tim Tebow types, and you have guys who don't do anything in college and show up in the NFL. So it's just a weird thing. I mean, are we going to draft who is that defensive end? what was his name?
Which
out
one?
Out of Penn State that we drafted that was bad.
Oh, what was our Maben.
Yeah. That's the thing. I mean, you never know.
Yeah.
Are you going to get an Aaron Maben or a Josh Rosen, or are you going to get, you know, an Antonio Brown in the fifth round? It's just, it's a crapshoot. It's a coin flip, and I just let it play out. I mean, I remember the draft was on was the day before my wedding, and we're watching after the rehearsal dinner. We're at a bar. Everybody in my wedding party, we're hanging out. We're clearly watching the draft on TV as well. My wife allowed it. And we draft Josh Allen, and we're saying, oh, no, what a horrible. See, who knows anything? No one knows anything.
Yeah.
McShay doesn't know anything. The guy with the weird hair doesn't know anything. You know, I'm about the ESPN guy. Yeah, they don't know anything, but
yeah,
we'll try our best. I mean, yeah. I did say we would draft Ed Oliver, and he was going to be good, so I guess I'm pretty good at it, too, so whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's all good, but yeah. Let's see.
No, it'll be a fun off season. You know,
yeah.
We're as a show, we are getting a hang of this thing. We're enjoying doing it. The get together last night was a hell of a lot of fun. It was great to see Bills supporters in the UK. Me personally, as a Bills fan from Buffalo, living in England, to see that many Bills fans in one spot so far away from home was beautiful. So thank you to everyone who came out. We'll see you again for the home opener, hopefully at the same spot. We got a really good off season planned. So we'll just, hang in there and, we'll guide you through the off season. Keep the hope.
Yeah. So all I'll say now is, for this time until next time, it's a good evening. Good afternoon, good morning. Thank you for listening, subscribing, reviewing. Keep following, interacting. From me and Alex, we're probably going to be going straight to bed after this. It's Go Bills.
Thank you, Lorenzo Alexander. Enjoy retirement. Go Bills.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about that. He'll be sorely missed, but good luck to him. And, yeah, that's a... It's all go Bills.
Go Bills.
Not us. Not us.
You don't know anything about heart. You don't know anything about work.
No. Huh? That's who we are. Bills on three. One, two, three.